Every once in a while, you meet a literary hero who you immediately fall in love with. And for me, that happened a couple of weeks ago when I met Odette Brown, the loving and resilient grandmother at the centre of Tony Burch's new novel, The White Girl. Odette is an Aboriginal woman caring for her young granddaughter Sissy in a fictional Australian town in 1960s Australia. But how does she keep her granddaughter safe when a new policeman arrives in town determined to remove Sissy from Odette's care? Tony Burch, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Tony, at its heart, this is really a story about the stolen generations. You've said that you've never met an Aboriginal person who doesn't have a story of loss through this period. How much are these losses continuing to shape the people that you speak to?
Oh, look, they shape Aboriginal people in very fundamental ways, both in ways of tragedy and ongoing trauma, so that I know so many Aboriginal people who in generations past or even in the current generation have lost or been separated from a family member, and sometimes they've never been reunited with that person, and that person has been lost to family and community. But of course, as is the case with Odette Brown, the fictional grandmother in this story, the same people have enormous capacity for resilience and strength. And they use that strength to continue to keep families together and to fight for justice around notions of, you know, the removal of children from family. So it's an ongoing issue which both harms and strengthens community at the same time.
Yeah. And this book is just, the timing of this book is so recent. We're in this fictional Australian town. The year is 1963. So we're 4 years away from the referendum. The mission in the town is closed, but Aboriginal people are still living in fear of their children or grandchildren being taken away by authorities. Can you just help me, Tony, just explain what life was like in this particular period of time in the 60s for Aboriginal people?
Well, it's quite complex because, as you just stated, it's moving towards the 1967 referendum, and people know that that referendum was very successful in the sense that it was supported by overwhelmingly by most Australians. But for Aboriginal people living in many states in Australia, so certainly the southern states right through to southern Queensland and in certainly in Western Australia where you are today, Aboriginal people would live under various forms of what are called Aborigines Acts. So depending on what state you were in, depending on what time it was, that the restrictions applied to those acts could mean, for instance, in the case of Odette Brown, that where she lived would be determined by the act, who she lived with would be determined by the act, where she worked, who she married, what children could be in her care. Her life was governed by the Aborigines Act, which placed enormous restrictions on her. And in Odette's case, and in the case of real-life Aboriginal people, that came with a constant threat of the removal of children from family, which of course happened to many tens of thousands of people. The other issue that I wanted to highlight in the novel is that it's not only complex, it's incredibly contradictory and unpredictable. In this case, in the country town, you have an older policeman, Bill Shea, who's been the town policeman for a long time, and you have this new very officious policeman Sergeant Lowe come to town. The way that those two policemen in a sense legislate the act, or in Bill's case who fails to legislate the act, it has a real impact on the day-to-day lives of Aboriginal people, which creates that enormous sense of uncertainty, unpredictability and great anxiety.
Because things can change in a moment a change of police officer. Yeah, so Odette is this wonderful woman. She's raising her granddaughter, Sissy. She's doing everything she can to keep her safe and happy. And she has been able to keep Sissy under the radar. Is that purely because of the fact that they had this kind of incompetent copper in the town?
Well, it can be. It's interesting, that issue of what you might call summary justice at the local level. I've done a lot of work on this when I worked as a historian, and it could be because of an incompetent policeman. It could be because of a genuinely benevolent policeman. Could be because of really an absence of law. So it would depend on, you're right, who was the local copper and what their relationships with people was like. But it's quite contradictory also in another sense, so that where we are today, or where I am in Victoria, the Aborigines Welfare Board in the post-war period sometimes didn't meet for more than once or twice a year. So during the post-war period in Victoria, Aboriginal people at times were given relative freedom, and then when you saw a new administration come in or when you recognised a change of policy, again, the old law could be readministered in a very draconian way. And the other issue, which is really frightening, it's related to what we might call behaviour and deference. So as an Aboriginal person, if you stood up for yourself and you stood up for the rights of Aboriginal people, the rights of your family, and brought yourself to the attention of a local policeman or politician because of that, well, then the law that is, you know, behind those police and politicians could be applied to you very quickly and in a very regressive way. So it was a way of also attempting to control the behaviour of Aboriginal people to remain sort of, to remain passive in a sense.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Odette says she's never really understood any other way except to remain passive, because she's grown up in the mission. She's been taking orders and she's been asking for permission her whole life.
Absolutely. And for Odette, she's, as we know, she's an incredibly strong and resilient woman, but she also, one, she knows her limitations, and she knows, unfortunately, that there are times when she has to hold her tongue and times when she can speak out. So there's a moment in the novel, quite purposefully, when Bill Shea, the older policeman, comes to her house and she berates him quite severely, knowing that in that private conversation, and Bill being someone she's known since her shared childhood, she has a right, or she feels the courage to do that. She would never have done that in public. So she would certainly not do that if Bill Shea was standing with another policeman or in the street, so that she knows when and where she can stand up to someone like Shea.
So Sissy is the granddaughter, and she's also the white girl of the title of this book. Her mother, so Odette's daughter, we understand that she was probably assaulted by a white man, and that's how she gave birth to this girl. Where is Sissy's mother, Lila, now?
Within the novel, the issue is that for Lila, the point that we have to understand is a great sense of shame that she feels herself. So that when she herself abandons the town, it's not so much of abandoning her daughter, it's about her inability to deal with her own sense of shame and her dishonesty with her mother. And that notion of where is she now and where is she throughout the novel and after the novel, she's one of those very tragic women who suffers great trauma, not only herself as a teenager, but in that period of being separated from her daughter. And while we know that many, many Aboriginal people strive their whole lives to find children who have been lost and sometimes are reunited or able to reunite children with family, in the case of Sissy's mother, I wanted to also highlight for some women, the tragedy and trauma is so great that it breaks them. So she's a woman who becomes totally broken by her own experience, and it debilitates her completely. And that's both understandable and an indictment on white Australia, because this is, again, one of the ongoing issues of the violence against Aboriginal children, is the generational impact on Aboriginal people, men and women and children, that it can really destroy people.
And it leaves Odette, the grandmother, feeling that she has to be everything to this girl, Sissy, give her all that love that she needs. We talked about the fact that a new police officer arrives in town, Sergeant Lowe, and he takes his role as guardian of Aboriginal children very seriously. He puts Odette and Sissy at risk. Now, I, Tony, don't think that this man is motivated by a care or concern for these children. Can you tell me what drives a man like Sergeant Lowe?
Yeah. Now, again, just to sort of preempt the fictional Lowe, one of the distressing issues of doing work on this history, over the years I'd read a lot of archival material. So reading archival material where Aboriginal women, and I know two particular Aboriginal women in Victoria, who literally wrote to the Chief Secretary of Victoria asking for the return of a daughter for 20 years. And in those heart-rending letters, you sense the great emotional difficulty those women are going through. And one of the issues that is distressing is that you get letters sent back from policemen who in some ways are like Sergeant Lowe, who write back with incredible heartlessness, that with no, they understand the trauma the women are going through, they recognise the trauma, and then talk about how the law will be applied to ensure that those women will never see their children again. So that heartlessness is real, and it's more widespread than some people would know. In the case of the fictional character Lowe, there are two issues driving him. One is that we do know that the referendum's coming up, and we do know that this may grant rights to Aboriginal people, or greater rights. There are people who don't want that to happen because it will undermine their own authority, and that's what's driving him at one level. But the second level, at the level of the individual, he is quite a pathological figure. So Lowe internally is a person who literally sees his role not only as a policeman but as a man, as a human, that his authority over people is paramount. And in the way that he wishes to punish Odette, and he certainly wishes to punish other people in the town, is with a quite brutal psychological authority. And that was quite purposeful. He's not a nuanced character, and that was deliberate. I do wanted to show the potential malevolence of how legislation is carried out through an individual who, in a sense, becomes the personification of violence in both the legislation and in this story.
Yeah, he's a pretty terrifying character. But I probably should make it clear, Tony, that this is not a book where all white people are bad or evil.
Oh, well, again, there's a really important issue around this book. So Odette has a remarkable relationship with several people, particularly Henry Lamb, who is another childhood friend, who's a white man in the town, who since childhood has grown up in a junkyard and comes to run that junkyard. There's a really tender moment in the book where they part for what will be the final time, and Odette hugs Henry. They're both in their early 60s, and she says, or thinks, that she has never been touched by a white man before, not voluntarily, which there's a hint there of what other relationships she may have had, but there is a real love and tenderness between her and Henry. The other issue with Henry Lamb, although some people might call him today intellectually challenged, I think he has the greatest emotional intelligence of any character in the novel. So when he recognises injustices against Odette, he talks of it, and he can't actually understand it because to him that undermines the value of a fellow human being. Secondly, there's an important relationship, although more briefly, with a Jewish doctor, Dr. Singer. And there's a scene in the novel where I also wanted to convey that when Odette goes to visit the doctor and has to remove her dress to be examined, she, of course, has had very difficult relationships with authorities, including doctors, before that. And in that scene and in the subsequent scenes with Dr. Singer, again, he conveys great respect towards Odette and treats her with enormous dignity. So in that relationship, I wanted to show that she is surprised by that, but again, the potential to have wonderful or certainly dignified and equitable relationships with people is possible. So that's important. And again, in the novel, there are moments where she briefly engages with non-Aboriginal people. Some of those are difficult interventions, and some of them are quite pleasant. So it's certainly a novel which I certainly hope people, when they finish the novel, see certainly the terrors, or understand the terrors of Aboriginal people living through this period. But of course, as you say, they also recognise the value of relationships between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people, which were beneficial to both.
For me, this book is really a celebration of pure love between a grandmother and her granddaughter. How much was this, Tony, about writing a book about strong black women?
Well, to be honest, it was everything. Before I'd written a word, I was it was clear that I wanted to write a book which celebrated the strength of Aboriginal women, you know, generationally, so that this is something that I've known in my own life, that I've certainly known with many women, and Odette Brown was certainly going to epitomise that strength and love. Also, I think importantly, in the relationship between her and Sissy, although Sissy is largely very protected by her grandmother, through the novel she becomes wiser and understands what's happening, and the potential for violence is something that she becomes more aware of. Essentially, though, I think that what the novel is about it's for readers is to say, here is this wonderful relationship between a grandmother and granddaughter, and these are the sorts of relationships that are so vital, not only to our Aboriginal communities, I think it should be vital to all communities, and that the love that you talk about is so central to the novel, so that even though we know that there is violence that has occurred in this novel, most of that is off screen, it's inferred. The tenderness between Odette and Sissy, and certainly between Odette, there's a moment with another Aboriginal woman called Wanda. The tenderness is something that I wanted to have front and centre on screen. So, yeah, there's the first, what I call the first bath scene where Sissy has a bath and Odette washes her granddaughter's hair. I spent a lot of time on that scene because I wanted it to be explicitly about love, explicitly about tenderness, explicitly about intimate touch, and there is not a hint of violence in that scene. So that closeness between the grandmother and granddaughter was probably the most enjoyable scene I've ever written.
It's a beautiful scene, and I should mention that bath is on the cover of your book. Tony, the book is called The White Girl. I really loved this one and it stayed with me. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And Tony Burch's The White Girl is published by University of Queensland Press.